BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
So, mate, what do I sit on the right?
I think the way Ant and Dec roll is...
As you look at the screen.
As you look on the screen, Ant's on the left. Dec's always on the right.
Okay, so we're perfect. Five Lives,
Rugby Union Daily. Shall we introduce Rugby Union Daily, Girona, England camp, Danny Kerr and...
The England captain.
Jamie Georgie made it. Who'd have thought it?
No one would have thought it, mate, I don't think.
No, I did. I did. What a guy. Is there a better man for the job, CJ?
Will you tell us?
No.
In a word, no.
No is the answer. This guy basically is the captain anyway. Like, no disrespect to previous captains, but they've done an unbelievable job. But Jamie's kind of role as... Have you ever been officially a vice-captain?
Not for England, no.
No, but the work he does on and off the field to bring the team together and drive the standards, I think, is ultimate captain material. So I'm really proud of him. I'm proud of my mate.
Loads to talk about with Danny Kerr, with Jamie George on the Rugby Union Daily. We're a couple of days away from the start of the Six Nations, so plenty to get at that's very important. And on the most important note, is Ant and Dec still a thing? Listeners of the Rugby Union Weekly would know all about you two driving the social committee, but can the England captain be on the social committee?
What I just said was, I pulled Danny to one side, and it was probably one of the toughest conversations I've had to have for a long time. And I just said, I don't think it's right for me to be the class clown and the England captain. So I just, you know, we've had to make a very difficult, but albeit executive decision that we're going to be stepping back from our duties as head of the
together. It's because I assume you would step back.
Do you think that if Ant stepped back, Dec would pull forward? Do you know what I mean?
And they'd get somebody on called Rog or something.
To be fair,
when Ant had a bit of a few mishaps,
did Dec step forward?
Dec stepped forward, and Holly Willoughby stepped in.
That is true, actually.
So if Holly, if you're out there and you fancy it, no, we made the decision. It was tough. Like it's been 8 years.
Well, you said it was executive. It sounds like it's been entirely Jamie's decision.
Well, fortunately, we're suffering from Jamie's success here that he has got the massive honour of leading the country. So we haven't stepped aside. We've stepped up to boardroom level.
DOR kind of stuff.
Yep.
Sporting director.
Yeah. We're the social directors.
So you're bringing through the next generation.
Precisely that. Yeah, and like, you know, that's the evolution.
Really is. We could name them now. That'd be, you know, be huge.
The committee.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it was fair on whoever we gave it to that they would just be two of them, because you can't, what we achieve as two, you can't replicate.
We did a bit of a highlights package of the last 8 years just to show.
Oh, God, give us a few of those highlights.
I mean,
it started in Australia 2016. I'm an England rugby player. Get me out of here.
England's got no talent. We've done.
The weakest link with Carl Sinclair is Anne Robinson.
Question of sport. Sue Parker. Harry Randall.
Getting the snakes in. The magician. And we did loads of like. So like for context, as we introduced, for example, if we got a magician in, Danny and I would do, I think it should see the light of day at some point, because it is funny. Like we would do like behind the scenes with Joel Stocker, who was heading up the media here. Amazing guy. And he would, so we would just do like stupid stuff. So we were rummaging through in the last Australia tour. We were rummaging through like a, what would you call it? Like a thrift shop.
I'd say a thrift shop.
We were like to find two capes and a magician's hat. Which we found, and then we just do stupid stuff like that. Joel would edit and make amazing.
It was a big introduction. It was a big production, wasn't it? So we went above and beyond. So these lads have got they know they've got big shoes to fill.
So the four lads are Freddie Stewart, Ollie Chesham, Alex Mitchell, and controversially Sam Underhill. And he hates that we call it controversial that he's in
there. He has to have controversially done before his name.
Yeah, it is controversially Sam Underhill, yeah. He's part of it. Yeah. Can I also just say something while it's on the top of my head? We're talking about a lot of talking about bringing fan interaction, right? You know the song, is it called Thunderstruck? No. Na 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 na. Thunder. So I want that to be played at, you know, like Marrow's got a song. When Sam starts making massive tackles, I want to be like, na 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 na.
Unders.
Which has really started.
He really wants it.
He wants it badly.
Yeah, he wants the Twickenham faithful to...
Which, you know, my personality type immediately makes me not want to give it to him. But I think we should give him a chance.
How is England camp as the England captain, Jamie?
Sorry, the serious.
Oh, wow, yeah, sorry.
Well, I suppose it's linked to the fact that you are no longer able to be the social guy, as you say, the class clown.
I think it's exactly the same. Like, and I think for me, a big focus of mine is making sure, like, the only thing that Steve spoke to me about was not changing given the additional responsibility. And like Danny said, I've been really lucky to be sort of part of the leadership group over the last little while. And, you know, I think the values that I had there are very much the same now. And, you know, there's a few added responsibilities media wise and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, sort of talking at the start of sessions, but I'd often do that anyway. And the nice thing is that I've got a lot of experienced people around me who are really stepping up and wanting to take charge. And, you know, I sort of just try and facilitate that a little bit.
And you're pleased for your mate, Danny?
I'm very proud of him. I think I have told you that when I heard. But yeah, we all are. Like, I know how much it means to Jamie to play for England, how much it means to his family. And then also, I can't imagine how it must feel to, on the brink of a Six Nations, to be actually leading the team. It's dream come true sort of stuff. So, myself and all the boys are fully behind him. And, you know, Steve hasn't named his vice-captains yet.
He's name-checked a few experienced players, of which you are one.
Okay, brilliant. But, you know,
imagine if there was the Ant and Dec turned captain, vice-captain?
Is there a world where that does come with, as the package?
Like, am I allowed to say that in my heart I hope it is you?
Well, does the captain get to choose their vice-captain?
I don't know.
Probably in some sports. I mean...
Do they?
I think cricket.
Wouldn't be surprised. Cricket.
They also pick the team.
Cricket has a lot of influence.
Start being like turning it into cricket and start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've taken a lot of inspiration from the cricket team and
play a bit. Couldn't I?
You would pay, mate. Yeah, yeah. You'd absolutely play. I'm a big fan of yours, mate. You're a good player.
Thank you.
Good player.
Thanks, mate.
So we're going to see Bazball then. If you said you've taken inspiration from Ben Stokes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think there's a lot of talk. I think you'll see a very different England team. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk, correct me if I'm wrong, Danny, but like about us laying foundations at the World Cup. You know, Steve's been in the job now for a long time, but this is the most time that he's had to sort of actually develop. Felix coming in as defence coach, I think you're going to see, you know, some seriously aggressive defence that's going to, you know, get people off their seat with the amount of line speed and physicality we want to try and bring. And, you know, Wiggy is getting very excited about where we can take our attack. So I'm not saying we're going to go all out and attack, but what I am saying is Ben Stokes talks a lot about expressing themselves and the fact that they're entertainers, like something at the forefront of our mind, especially at the minute, is how we can put smiles on people's faces, how we can bring Twickenham back to being, you know, that fortress that we want it to be. And, you know, that's definitely part of the conversation that we're having at the minute.
Yeah, I'll back up everything that I said. It's incredibly exciting. And as Jamie said, the foundations were laid in the World Cup in France. And I think we've talked about it before, of having a team that fans can be proud of again. And what we want to, more than anything, is to keep growing the game and keep. We feel like we have a responsibility to do that. When you put this England shirt on, you're there to be shot at, but you're also there to inspire people and grow the game in England. That's what we want to do. We want more people to pick up the ball at the end of the day and be inspired by what they've seen in an England
shirt.
And do
you need to play a certain way, guys, to do that, do you think?
I think, like, at the forefront of it, English rugby is always fundamentally about, like, whatever, like, if you flew down from Mars and watched us play, the characteristics of us fighting for everything and working incredibly hard is at the forefront. So English rugby should always be about set around being so difficult to beat, do you know what I mean? But we are aware of the style of play that, you know, people want to see. You know, we've got very exciting players, you know, the likes of Marcus Smith stepping up now. You know, we saw that when we got him the ball in space in the World Cup, you know, people got off their seat. It's exciting, you know, watch it at Quinn's. You know, we've got some really exciting young players who are really stepping up this season in the Premiership, and, you know, we want to carry that forward, but in the right way, in the England way. And I think, you know, we're certainly talking about, you know, trying to make people excited about the way that we play also.
Is that been a conversation then, Danny, in this camp? Like, what happened at the World Cup was, you know, getting the third place from where you were was really impressive, but there's places you need to take your game to be up there with Ireland and France, for example.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we're shedding any secrets here when Steve said the first meeting is a massive opportunity here to be the best team in Europe, to go and win this Six Nations. And what a group that we've got with an opportunity to do it. I think there's only 16 of the 33 from the World Cup squad that are here, so you've got some fresh faces, but some faces of lads that are itching to get going. And we've had 2 days on the training field already, but some of the skills on show and some of the youthful exuberance you're showing from these boys. To see Manny Faye Wiboso here, just the smile on his face, the athlete he is when you look at him. Special player, you know, Tommy Roebuck, you know, that's Northampton Saints lads that are here, flying high. There's such confidence in this squad, and a massive opportunity we feel to take the game to a new level, and to ultimately try and go win the Six Nations. That's the aim. The aim was to win the World Cup. We fell slightly short, but the aim here now, I think we're sitting fifth in the world. We know Ireland and France are up there in that top four. We've got to try and go and beat all those teams and try and win the Six Nations, which we're lucky that we've done it a few times. And it'd be really, really nice to try and win another one.
And I think just off the back of that, like, the overriding feeling that we had off the back of the World Cup was one of pride. We put some pride back in the England jersey. And, you know, those were certainly the messages that I received post-World Cup. And I feel like, you know, it feels like we've got a bit of momentum coming into this World Cup, but into this Six Nations off the back of the World Cup. But, you know, it is a very new-looking squad. But, I mean, I'm talking now more around, you know, the connection with the fan base, you know, our interaction with people at away games and at Twickenham, fans that come and watch the game, fans that sitting at home, and how we can try and increase that. And, you know, we want to try and ride that wave and bring, you know, these amazing fans that we have on a great journey with us.
That's important to you as the captain?
Absolutely, 100%. And it's important to Steve. So, like, for example, we've already had conversations in the alignment camps or the mini camps that we had before we met up here about how we can improve Twickenham to become a better, albeit like, for to improve the match day experience for all fans, and how do we want it to be? And we have fed that forward to, you know, the powers that be at the RFU.
Because you've heard from friends, family, that it could be improved.
Yeah. So, and, like, you know, how can it be better for our families? Like, I've got a lot of mates who come to Twickenham as fans. How can they improve their experience? Like, how can we, you know, we understand that what we put on the field is at the forefront of that. You know, us winning games and scoring tries and getting people off their seat is absolutely, you know, at the forefront. But at the same time, what else can we do? Like, how else can we have interaction with fans? How else can we, you know, improve, you know, a little kid who's got their first opportunity at watching an England rugby game? How can we guarantee that, or do everything that we can to make sure that they're having the best time possible?
I want to pick you up on the new chapter and looking ahead to the first game in a sec. But just on your leadership style, Jamie, and what you want to do as England captain, you've played with Owen Farrell, Courtney Laws, Rory Best on the Lions, Peter Omani, Johnny Sexton, Alan Wynne-Jones. You've been captained by Sam Warburton. You've been coached by some of the great coaches of the modern age. But also you've got Steve Borthwick telling us the other day, you've got to be you. So how do you use everything you've learned from all of those great leaders, but be Jamie George, England captain?
I think like, you always take inspiration from people, and, you know, I've been really lucky to have worked, like you say, with some really special people. But ultimately, I think, you know, the leaders that I respect the most are the ones that are authentic, the ones that, you know, I think it's very easy to see through someone who's trying to be something they're not. And like I say, despite not having the title of captaincy, I've felt like I've been in a leadership position in this team and at Saracens for a long time. I've been lucky enough to captain Saris a few times. I've done it for the Lions. Like, this is something that, you know, I feel very comfortable in doing. And in terms of style, like, I'm a people person. I care about relationships. I care about people loving their time in playing for England. And, you know, I've been through, you know, been on a bit of a roller coaster ride for me, especially, like, some of the best times of my life have been playing for England, but also, you know, I've had some difficult times whilst playing for England also. And for me, I said it to the boys, that was one of the first things I said, like, being in this environment and playing for England should be the best time of your life, should be the best time of your career. And I'm very passionate about making sure that people are in a position to do that.
Because Danny, you must have been captained by guys that get the armband and suddenly change overnight.
I mean, yeah, I think with it comes different challenges, different responsibilities, something I've never had to face. But, you know, it's a big deal being the England captain. But I think the way Jamie is, knowing him so well and knowing the way that Steve is, the last thing Steve will want for him is to be anything other than what he already is, which is, firstly, a brilliant player, brilliant person and great teammate, and someone you could always go and speak to if you had any issues. Like, Jamie ticks all of those boxes. So, I can't wait for him to lead the team out, because I know what an amazing feeling that'll be for him. But he will do, I'm sure, what he's been doing for the past 8, 9, 10 years of wearing an England shirt, which is giving his all for the team, putting the team first. And he just so happens, you know, if we win a trophy, he gets to be the one that lifts it. So, we're delighted for him. And I know that he's going to do a great job. He already is. There's some good people around him to help as well.
Right, loads to come on the daily after this.
Pep Guardiola.
A perfectionist.
A tactical genius.
The best manager of his generation.
The best manager in history.
Reserve team coach Pep Guardiola, a popular former player at the Nou Camp, will take over from Rijkaard.
This is a podcast all about the man who has shaped the modern game.
It feels almost as if he's solved the riddle, if he's cracked the code for football.
From his history in La Masia to dominating football across Europe.
He's brought a brand of football to the Premier League that we've never seen before.
Everybody plays like Pep's teams now.
From football, he takes you to heaven.
From BBC Five Life.
Sporting giants, Pep Guardiola.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
So both you've been in camp, and we're going... weather in Girona, by the way.
Glorious. Listen, the training's obviously at the forefront, but Danny and I do have a tea time.
Have you seen the course?
We're on a golf course.
We drove around it, yeah.
We are frothing at the mouth. Like, the rugby is absolutely at the forefront, but it with weather like this, compared to what we had at home... glorious.
Your golf's been going from strength to strength, according to your Instagram. The handicap's plummeting.
I'm not shouting about it, am I?
No. Just it's clear you're improving.
I play a bit of golf, yeah.
Have you?
Danny's my partner. Like, right. You know, we're the bucket hat boys.
But no one is the senior member of that partnership.
No, we are a team.
You dovetail.
Equilibrium.
We dovetail very nicely.
Oh my god! Some of the scenes on greens were.
Do you know what?
Bail each other out.
Do you know what is probably Danny's? Danny's a good golfer, but like what his greatest attribute is getting in the head of the opposition. And I dare say you do it a little bit on the rugby field also, perhaps.
Potentially.
But like he's actually sat behind us. I have not seen... Ben Earl is a great golfer.
He's best golfer here, probably.
He's off four. He's a great golfer. But I have never seen a capitulation like it. And it's Danny, like, stood over him, like, you know, he doesn't quite walk on his line, but, like, the, you know, the etiquette is sort of, you know,
it's borderline.
It's I'd very
Tiger-like, you know. When you're against Tiger.
Just... Yeah, and he just walks down the fairway, for example. And, like, and then he has the audacity to bring out, you know, driver off the deck, DOD. And you know, Ben's telling him there's no way that he can do this. There's no way, like, you know, he can't do this. And then he sticks it to 3 feet. And like Danny's the sort of bloke that's got that in him. He's a maverick, and he is an absolute joy to play with.
The consistency that this guy brings as well is second to none. Honestly, you think, oh, there's a big wind off the left, but you've got to curl it round. You curl it round a tree, and Jamie goes, "Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, give me my sword and give me my ball," and he will stick it up there. And it's admirable. And it's sometimes I stand there just in awe of the man on the tee. It's a joy to play with him. I like to say we're unbeaten. We're not. A couple of times we
actually got off to a pretty bad start in France. We were lucky enough in Le Touquet to play some golf, and
we were over three.
I didn't hear much about that.
Was different, perhaps
the grass was a bit different. The
you
air,
know what hurt the most was losing to Marla, who's off. We had to give him about 100 shots, and he's actually decent. Like, interestingly, you think with Marla that he stands on the first tee and he swings at 1,000 miles an hour. He's like slow and steady. He's got the swing of, you know, like it's pretty similar to my old man, who's 72. Like, you know,
hasn't got the range and the mobility.
Hasn't got a huge amount of thoracic mobility in particular.
But good girth that when he hits the ball. It doesn't really go very... I think he drives the ball probably 170 yards.
Yeah. Like, if I'm completely
he's
honest...
That, like, he's that annoying, like, old granddad or uncle.
He just hacks his way up. So he'd like, average a five on most holes, but that is including a par five, and he often gets two shots on a par five, right. Which, you know,
he's a bandit.
Just to pick up on something you guys both spoke about, trying to take the team to the next level now, does it feel around camp like a new era, like a very different feel?
It does, yeah. Like I say, there's a lot of experience gone. You know, obviously Owen, Courtney, Ben Youngs, three guys with over 100 caps.
Johnny May will be upset if you don't say
Johnny May. Yeah, Johnny May. Few lads also not here. Carl Sinclair, Billy Vonopola, Maka Vonopola. Like, lots of experience, lots of caps. So it does feel like a new feel. You've obviously still got some older, more experienced lads. But again, I'll say the excitement and the opportunity that's in this squad, it's phenomenal. I've always said I think this team's just going to take off after the World Cup. I really think
there's always been young players coming through. It's just
there has.
Getting them playing, getting them regular exposure, getting them regularly.
I think one of our roles as the older lads, as the more experienced lads, is to try and inspire them to not be worried about making mistakes here. Steve's been very keen on that from day one, to not come here and be timid. And Jamie's big thing is, don't dip your toe in. Let's fly into this. We're going to make a load of mistakes. Felix Jones has said the same with our defence. It's the way we're going to defend. The way we're going to attack is going to be, hopefully, it's going to be more attacking. There's going to be more opportunities to play the ball, which does come with more mistakes. But the more we practice it on the training field and we're willing to be brave, the better it's going to be on the Saturdays.
Yeah, I just think it's about, like, we talk about being the fastest learning team. So we want to push it to a level where, you know, it's natural for us to, it's okay to make mistakes, because we're able to learn off the back of it, and then we don't make the same mistake twice. So, you know, if we're not saying, you know, sitting here and saying, you know, we're running so hard that we knock the ball on every time, like, you know, there's learning on the move, constantly trying to constantly evolve. And that kind of mindset just puts you in a position to, first of all, hit the ground running and then keep improving throughout the tournament, which is massive in a Six Nations.
Sure. And you mentioned the players missing. You know, whenever we hear from you guys in camp, you always would speak about the standards that Owen Farrell would drive. You know, the beating heart of the team, the emotional barometer, the physical barometer. So do you need someone else to do that, or someone else to share the load? Or is it just going to be a completely different England team without Owen Farrell in it, or a different England squad and environment?
I think it's very hard to replicate what Owen does. I think he's unique. I think he's special. You know, for me, he's one of the greatest players to have played for England. He's one of the greatest leaders. And, like, I think that in itself is a difficult thing. So in answer to your question, you can't replicate it, but at the same time, you can distribute that throughout the squad. So, like, I've got a responsibility to make sure standards are upheld. But the sort of the coaching staff that we have, very often it doesn't even need to be player-led in terms of standards, because it's very clear in terms of what is expected of you and what is okay and what's not, what sort of mistake is okay and what's not. And when you're in that sort of position, I feel like it's a lot less daunting, and it frees you up to go, no problem, I'm here. And often, like, you know, we spoke about it before, sometimes your first time in camp can be quite daunting. You sort of sit back, wait, see how everyone else moves, think about, you know, and you could possibly overthink it. You know, we've said, like, you are here for a reason. You are here to bring the strength that you're bringing. You know, English rugby's in a great place. You look at Northampton and Exeter and the amazing things that the Harlequins guys are doing in Europe. Like, we've been taking teams on in Europe, you know, and looking good. Bring that life, bring that energy, bring that leadership. You know, there's a lot of young leaders in that Northampton team in particular. Bring that to camp so that, you know, we can take the team forward.
I think Owen, there's only one Owen. Like, he does it in his own style and he does it brilliantly. And to ask someone to try and be that would not be authentic. You know, you can't just ask overnight Elliot Daly to turn into Owen Farrell. Elliot's also a brilliant leader, George Ford. So you've still got the guys that have been there and done it for England, for the Lions and the club level. You want boys to be themselves and drive the team in the way that they do it. And Owen's way was very unique. And we've always said, you know, the heartbeat of the team and the standards that he drives is incredible, but he does it his way. And so the way that other lads will do it works. And we want to inspire these young lads to
grab a hold of this team and bring it forward. You know, they can help us as much as I think we can help them. So hopefully there's a good mix in there and a good blend.
Yeah, because you're going to have to play some new guys in Rome. You just look at who's missing on the blind side with Tom Curry and Courtney Laws, for example. There aren't loads of players who've worn number 6 for England. Look at number 12. Ollie Lawrence, Manu Tulangi not here, and Owen would so often go in there, wouldn't he, to play 12. So there's going to be some players, if not making their debut, winning their second, third, fourth cap in the Stadio Olimpico, Jamie. Like Steve, you must have total confidence that everyone in this squad can step in and do a job at the top level.
Absolutely. Like, I've been so impressed with what I've seen from the boys. I think but I kind of knew that coming into camp, to be completely honest, because of the form of, you know, I say it again, like the way that the English rugby teams have performed, the competition in the Premiership, that kind of thing. Like, you're talking about the 6 jersey, like Chandler Cunningham South is playing unbelievable stuff. He's come into the environment and hit the ground running, which is fantastic. Ethan Roots is a brilliant player who I didn't, to be completely honest, know too much about until he joined Exeter. And then I thought, like, this guy is a proper player. And they've come, just as an example, they've come in and really, like, taken everything in their stride and done exactly what we've asked in terms of not holding back, bringing what their superpowers are and seeing if that adds to the team. And it certainly has.
Because it would often happen under previous regimes, Danny, we'd have spoken loads on the pod, that a load of young players would get named, but they would often hold tackle bags for 6 weeks, go back and forth from their clubs. But there are going to be young players who England fans are going to see running out with a rose in their chest.
Yeah, there's opportunities for the lads to grab. I know how desperate they are, and I think they will. These boys are desperate to play for England. The fact that there's no games during the Six Nations to go back to, I think the squad will be together for longer, so it won't be, you won't have that disjointed feel of, you know, 8 or 10 lads leaving.
And you're staying together now, aren't you, to go from Girona to Rome?
We're all together, we go to Rome together, so that helps, I think, with the squad dynamic of everything. Everybody feels a part of it, everyone buys in. There's opportunities up for them, there's places up for grabs. I'm sure the coaches have got some interesting selection headaches, but some players, as Jamie says, playing really well for club. We know it's different, it is a step up to international, and that's why I think the coaches will be looking at and going, who's ready to make that jump and who's ready to take that opportunity? And I'm excited to see what can happen.
There are so many lads that have impressed, and the competition is mad. I am glad that it isn't like cricket and I don't have to be on that selection panel.
Because you don't know until you put someone in. You can kind of gather from training. Do you get a feeling?
You certainly get
a feeling. Do you get a feeling, when Tom Curry walks into camp, even at 18, do you go, okay, this guy's got something about him?
Like, the way that training is laid out, like, it's so thorough, it's so specific to test match rugby that you get, you know, like, it is very clear that you know. And, like, obviously there's stuff that you can't replicate, crowd pressure, playing away from home, that kind of thing. But, like, I feel like coming into the environment first time, like Chana and Ethan, if we're using that as an example, and the way that they've reacted, the way they've tried to learn, the hunger that they have to get better and take the team forward. And you know, for like Chandler, for example, like he spoke about after the last Quinns game, all he wants to do is hit people and run over people. Like, bring that to this team, and that's exactly what he wants to do within this team. And, you know, yes, there is a step up in intensity, but at the same time, you know, we'll see that in the way that we train, because training it is often harder than games.
Yes, I can, for example, the Northampton outside backs take their club form to international? That's a big question, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. I've got no doubt. You know, someone like George Furbank, who's a wonderful player, has had to wait his opportunity to come back in. See him out there pulling strings. The freedom of a Tommy Freeman, a Fraser Dingwall, how he plays with the ball, it's so effortless. You've got Mitch buzzing around. So they've got that little group of young English lads that are flying high at the moment. And I think we want to ride that wave. You want to keep them feeling that way, make them feel like they can bring that in an England shirt. And that's what Wiggy's definitely doing as an attack coach. He's trying to harness all that good stuff and trying to get it in an England shirt. Because Jamie's right, sometimes in an England environment in the past, you haven't felt like you can do that. It's been hard to translate that. But I feel thoroughly that the coaches are very aware of, this environment needs to be an environment where you feel free and you're backed to make decisions. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a bit of that.
And a couple to finish. Jamie, we spoke about maybe in the autumn of 22 about working with referees, how it can be frustrating. Is that something you've been thinking about? Have you been speaking to people about how to get that right? Now you are going to be the first point of contact for the team.
Just laughing. No, 100%. And it's been a work on of mine, or like something that I've been working at for a while now. Have I completely cracked it? No. But do I realise that it's an entirely, you know, massive part of my role as being captain? Yes. And like, you know, I feel like sort of developing relationships with the referees is
very important.
They've
got to listen to you, Skipper.
They might have to listen to me at times. But I think, you know, the main message for me is the way that I go about it and the timing of when I go to referees is important. And, you know, I've certainly learned a lot over the last few years. And, you know, it's something that I want to take forward, obviously, into the captaincy.
So just finally to both of you, what kind of England team do you want to be leading out, Jamie and Danny, that you don't no doubt want to be a part of, or if not a part of, to be closely watching on? What can England fans expect come the opening game?
I hope the England fans, I know the England fans are going to see a team that they can be proud to support, a team that fights for everything, a team that hopefully is trying to inspire people, and a team you can really get behind. I think that's the biggest thing. And we're all behind Jamie and we're all behind the boys. Whoever gets picked, hopefully this is a really exciting time to be an English fan and an English player.
Yeah, and just off the back of that, we want to be the best prepared team that we possibly can be, but we also want to have an edge where this team has no fear of failure. We're not going to Italy not to lose. We're going to Italy to take them on. We're going to Italy to win the game and take the game to them, and we'll then take that momentum going forward into Wales the week after.
Because we know Italy will be gunning for England at home.
Absolutely, and they always are, and those Rome weekends are special, I find. I think they're great. I think Italian rugby's in an interesting place, and I think, you know, the club game is in a good spot with a new coach coming in. You know, the element of the unknown with how they're going to play, obviously it will be different to the previous coach, and they've got some good players in that team. So we know that there is going to be a lot of challenge there, but this is Test Match Rugby. That's what it's about, and that's what we love. And, you know, when the pressure comes on, can we stay together as a team and you know, still look to not worry about making mistakes and get bums off seats? And, you know, the England fans that travel over, the England fans watching at home should be proud of the performance that we put in.
Brilliant. Great to see you guys. Great to see you, Danny. Great to see you, Jamie. Still Anton Deck, but in a slightly more managerial role.
Advisory.
Yeah. Executive role.
Executive.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like executive. Executive.
Consultants.
Yeah. Executive.
Executive consultants.
Executive consultants.
Okay. Great stuff. More on the daily tomorrow. We'll be in Marseille on the ground building up to that amazing opener, France against Ireland. That is all to come on the daily tomorrow. But from Danny and Jamie in Girona, see you later.
Adios.
On the Football Daily Podcast.
The Women's Football Weekly.
With me, Ellen White.
Ellen White coming forward for England.
And
there is the second.
And me, Ben Haynes, with some of the biggest names in the WSL joining us every week to discuss everything that's happening in the women's game.
Right after the World Cup, got told, we're going to America. I thought, amazing. 10 days in training, did my meniscus, and the next day they flew to America.
Blocked header 6 yards out, Ellen White!
The Women's Football Weekly Podcast.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Subscribe to the Football Daily on BBC Sounds.